It's 90.3 KEXP. I'm John Richards here at KEXP in our live room with Brandon Summers from the Helio Sequence. Brandon is here to reveal for the first time the story behind their fourth full-length release, Keep Your Eyes Ahead, which has been re-released in deluxe fashion earlier this month via Sub Pop Records. But before we hear that story, we would like to hear a song. Brandon, you ready?
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Lately, I don't think of you at all. I wonder what you're up to or how you're getting on. I never think of calling you or how things could have been. I wonder where you sleep at night or whose arms you wake in. I'm living alone, I don't need you anymore. Living alone, I don't need you anymore. Lately, I don't get lost in daydreams. Or anything you said, and I don't think twice when someone says your name, or twist my mind in circles wondering which of us to blame. I'm living alone, I don't need you anymore. Living alone, I don't need you anymore. I never lay awake and think of all the empty words, and I don't think about your face or when the tide will turn, and I don't break down when someone says your name, or twist my mind in circles wondering which of us to blame. I'm living alone, I don't need you anymore. Living alone, I don't need you anymore. Lately, I don't think of you at all. Lately,
Lately from Brandon from the Helio Sequence. Wow. I love that. I've never heard a version of that song like that.
Thanks.
It's just beautiful. Thank you. Brandon, thanks for coming up today.
Oh, thank you.
Came up
so
from
much
Portland
for
last
me.
Night in the rain and
I had a nice rainy drive and stayed with a friend and got him nice and early. So it's
okay.
Good to be here. Good to see the new space for the first time.
Oh, you haven't been in the new space.
That's first
great.
Time.
Well, welcome. What a great day for you to be here.
Thanks.
And for a record that, it still gets so much love on this show and on this station, I heard from you not too long ago, you wanted to tell the story about this record for the first time. And I think we all plug in our own stories into people's music. That, like your album, I've told you, was a post-divorce album for me, and that song in particular was convincing me to get over and live on my own. And people take records and make them their own, but you've never talked about what made this record for you. Can you talk about that now?
Yeah, you know, like you're saying, so many people have come up over the years, you know, at shows. Benjamin and I always go out to the merch table and have a drink and like talk with everybody after shows, and they've always asked directly, you know, who is this record about? I know it's about someone. You know, everybody knows the story of me losing my voice and gaining it back. And there's the story of, you know, of trying to find yourself again through the record. But they know, like, well, this record is about somebody in mm-hmm. particular. And all the way until now, I've been so shy, to share it, you know, partly out of this idea of, like, I don't want to influence what people think about this record. I want it to be about them, but also because it put me in a very vulnerable position. And Keep Your Eyes Ahead is about, and most of the songs were written for my mother, and a really difficult situation that happened when she disappeared from my life, and I didn't know where she was for a good amount of years, at least 5, 6, 7 years.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 21 years old, and I had just gotten married. You know, my wife and I were living on our own for the first time in a little studio apartment, and it was in September, early of 2001, when my mother and our family got a phone call, and it was the worst news possible, that her husband, my stepfather, had died in a car accident, in a truck accident, to be exact, and on I-5 in Northern California. He was doing runs in between Portland and San Francisco. And Martin, my mother's husband, was just this amazingly stabilizing figure in the family. You know, where my family's been rather tumultuous, like a lot of people's families, I'm sure, throughout the years. And he was this person that had come in, and they had been married for about 5 years, and things were really going well for them. So to get this news was just like the earth being just taken out from under you.
How long after that news did you realize your mom was gone?
She tried as hard as she could for, it was about a year and a half, to like push through the grief. And it's one of those things where it's the most difficult thing to watch when you love somebody so much and you're watching them try and try to get through something. And, it was about sometime in 2002 when my sister and my brother and I came to her house to realize that all of our personal belongings, you know, our sentimental things like picture books and assignments that we had done in school when we were little, were in a pile in the garage, and she was gone with no forwarding address, and we didn't know where she was.
So that happens, and how much time after that for you? I mean, when did panic set in right away? Were you panicked? Was it soon after?
Yeah, I mean, I would describe, like, the first thing was just this overwhelming sense of shock, for just not knowing what, you know, if it was real or what was going on, and that shock, you know, in like any case, it leads to this inaction. It's just such a large thing that you don't even know how to address it. You know, I've had the few people that I've talked to over the years understand, but I can understand somebody on the outside being like, well, why didn't you just go try to find her? Well, it was just this overwhelming thing. You start to think about what could have caused it, the past, or where could they be? Are they okay? And just the questions pile up, and time just flies.
With you and your siblings, were there different reactions to this? Were there different, were you all kind of on the same page as far as what you thought?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very close with my brother and my sister, and we would talk about it, but, you know, like everybody, you have your own personal way of dealing with it, you know, and I was thinking it was particularly hard for my younger brother to deal with, because he was very close with my mother, and younger than me, and still living in the house at the time.
And you're still grieving the loss of your stepfather, too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was just, you know, and it sounds like a tangential thing to say, but this was right before 9/11. So at the exact time that Martin died, 9/11 happened, and the world just seemed to be turning upside down. And then shortly after that, my mother disappeared.
No, I mean, I understand. Like, my father passed about almost a year to the day before 9/11. And I remember I was starting to get through the weeds and start to see forward. And then the whole world seemed to be collapsing in front of our eyes. And
yeah, it was like this symbol. Like, I could watch it on television, like watching the towers fall, and they played them on unending repeat. And it wasn't, you know, all political concerns aside and what it means for the bigger picture, just seeing that image over and over was, you know, it just fed into the grief and the heaviness of the situation.
And getting ahead a little bit, it it's interesting. I have a son who's old enough to have a conversation with, but
yeah.
too young. He wasn't born when that. It's
same.
It, it's insane to me that there's people born who can have a conversation with me and not know about that day, and then the impact it had with people even dealing with grief and dealing with loss.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You can feel that loss in the air. You can feel grief. You know.
We'll talk about more about the record and how it related to the situation in a sec. You want to play another song from it? Can you tell us which song you're going to play?
Yeah, this one's called You Can Come to Me.
Self-effacing charms are shot. Wake up now to what you are and what you're not. You can run, 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 but you can't escape. Taste it sharp like mustard seed. It's not what you need. You can talk, 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 but the words aren't clear. When your straight edge line curves and obscures all that you see. Sure shot sight blurs. You can come to me. It's too late now, your fun's been had. Your shining, blinding myriad burned out and fell down, down, down to the ground. Stone. You call them friends, but now you find you're on your own. And they're gone, gone, gone with the morning light. When the black cloud sky rains on your ragged company, thoughts slip from their chains, you can come to me. You can come to me. You can come to me.
KEXP. Brandon from the Heliosequence here on The Morning Show, talking for the first time about the album that celebrated its 10th birthday recently and what inspired that. And it's really interesting, too. You talk about being vulnerable and talking about this, which you're doing.
Absolutely.
And then you're playing them stripped down, which is already vulnerable as well. Where are you in your life where you're able to talk about this? It can't just be the anniversary of the album. That doesn't seem to be enough.
No, it's, I mean, honestly, I think what has finally made me feel like I've, been able to come out and talk about this is that my mother, came back to Portland just a little over a year ago, and I've been in contact with her, but there's something hugely psychological about, you know, psychologically comforting about having her so close and seeing her again in person, not just speaking over the phone and having all of the grief and the sadness, you know, and not even knowing whether to mourn because she was missing for so long, washed away, and just feeling that love again and seeing her.
Can you tell me about reconnecting with her for the first time?
Yeah, it was in 2007 when I'd been trying to search for her through some internet search services. And it was a little different than it is now. I feel like now you can type in someone's name, something comes up within 4 seconds that tells you here's where everybody's lived and where they currently are and what they're eating for dinner. but this was, I tried 3 or 4 of them and I got nothing until 2007 when I found out that she was living in Vegas. And I tried calling this number to no avail, no answer. And Benjamin and I went on this tour, and it was really getting to me. I remember my wife saying, you know, I hope you figure this out because I can tell this is really affecting you. And we were wrapping up a tour, and we were coming over the mountains into San Diego. It's like the really beautiful desert with all the rocks and one of my favorite landscapes in the world, actually. And I got a call, an unlisted call from Vegas. And I told Benjamin, we have to pull over the van. And stopped on the side of the road. And I knew it was her to get that call.
How long had it been since you talked to your mom?
It had been about 6 years.
So 6 years, mm-hmm. You're on the side of the road.
Of not knowing.
And what did she say?
You know, looking back, it was a really uneventful conversation. It was just like, hi, how are you doing? Are you okay? Yeah. What have you been up to? Kind of a thing. And, you know, and I told her that, you know, how much it meant to me to reconnect with her and how much she means to me at that time. But it was so overwhelming. Like the memory of what we said is totally overshadowed by the fact that I remember standing on that road, pacing around the van at the top of that mountain, and just the feeling of this weight being lifted.
She was alive. I mean,
yeah.
And you heard her voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I count myself as absolutely lucky, because in those 6 years when somebody's missing and you're living in this unknown for so long, you don't even have the closure or know to mourn necessarily, or if the grief is justified, you know, or if it's just your inaction of not being able to go out and find them. There are all these questions that you're just in limbo. And it was an amazing thing to have some sort of, I wouldn't say closure, but some sort of unity on that.
Do you think one of the reasons to not talk about it too is you knew somewhere you would have to, sort of console the person you're talking to or try to give them answers you don't have, because it's one thing if your mom had died.
Right.
And it's another when it's a very unique situation where your mom has disappeared.
Right, right. And you bring up a really interesting word, answers. You know, I feel like so many of us are looking to define things and looking for answers, especially in relationships that get complicated. And, you know, one of the things that I've really learned from this is that life is so complicated. Sometimes there aren't cut and dry answers, you know, and it's, you know, the some people I've told, like, well, why didn't you ask what happened or why this or why that or what have you been doing? And you just sort of realize, you know, like, you don't have this, you don't necessarily have to have answers, you know, and you can guess them for yourself. Like, honestly, sometimes life just gets too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you can't be somewhere. And
even for parents, and I think we forget that.
Yeah.
That just because they're parents doesn't mean that they don't have breakdowns. They don't miss the love of their life who died,
yeah,
and need time away. It's just unfortunate for those who were left behind.
Yeah, it puts you in a different role as a son. It puts you in this adult role where you're looking at, you know, the person who has been your parent for your entire life as, like, with this huge amount of empathy, thinking like, well, you know, I've been hacking my way through adulthood for a few years now. I know how overwhelming it can get, and you know, you just understand.
Yeah, you don't get some answers. I've learned you get more questions,
right?
Not more answers. At least that's been my experience. Can you talk about channeling then into this record? Like, how, so was this, this is when she's missing, clearly.
Yeah.
This record is written, right?
Right. And in that sense, you know, so many of the songs were, you know, I would use the word a search for her, but it's, you know, as much a search for somebody literally as it's a search through your own feelings about that. And when I write, I can't sit down, especially lyrics really, and decide I'm going to write a song for somebody or about something. The worst things come out at that point. It's like the most vapid stuff I've ever done. I find it easier just to literally be on the mic feeling what the chords or the music are saying and writing lyrics on the spot. And this was how all of Keep Your Eyes Ahead was written. And it wasn't until I would write a song after it, I would realize, oh, that's actually, I'm directly addressing that dream that I had the other night, or this thing that happened in the past with my mother. So it was a very, like you're saying, channeling just the feelings that are involved in that. And it was a really important way of learning to write.
Well, I mean, it's a brilliant record. I mean, from start to finish. And I like all that you've both done, but this one just for me has always been close to perfection for me. And it, again, people use it in different ways. Like for me, Keep Your Eyes Ahead is one of the most motivating songs. And I'm a runner, so I run to it. And I feel like when I'm running from something as well. So I can see where that song even more so. So I think by letting people know, I actually think that may have more meaning for me now. So I think your thought and your care of your listeners and changing the dynamic of that record, I think is maybe a good thing. Maybe people can plug it into other things going on in their lives.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, my story doesn't in any way negate what the record is about to anybody else. And, you know, I mean, honestly, one song is about many things. You know, lately, the song, you can frame it in the you know, like my mother disappearing and this whole idea, literally, if you want. But that was actually written after Benjamin had gone through a really bad breakup. And I was going through all this grief as well, or trying to figure things out. And he had to leave the studio early one day. And I sat down and the song just came out. So you're always writing. You're writing for somebody always.
Yeah. Next song is Can't Say No. Can you talk a little bit about this song?
Yeah, this was one of the songs that came about through stream of consciousness writing. I had actually had a journal that I pulled out from high school, and I found these lyrics in them, and I rejumbled them around and turned them into the lyrics for Can't Say No. And this one's in drop C, so let me just make sure it sounds beautiful for everybody. That'll work. All right, here we go. Can't Say No.
Chalk it up to the basic needs. Discipline, isolate. These days you can run or believe all that you read. But all the kids with the download brainwaves holding up a sign saying guns kill, God saves. All in the form of the faceless newscast. Commercials, it's a live well but die fast. To reality, distillate, venerate. These days you can feel or conceive all that you see. But all the kids with the sound back, same chains, choking up lines, playing who's who mind games. All in the spell of the speechless redress. Commercials, it's a take more but give less. Even if you want it to. Cost me, even if you wanted to, even.
Brendan from the Healy Sequence here on Listener Powered KEXP. You know, if you had asked me about that song before you sat down, I'd say that is one of the catchiest songs I know. Now, if you ask me, I'd say that is one of the prettiest songs.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was...
The lyrics are, by stripping it down like that, you really do hear those lyrics. And by the way, your high school journal, a lot different than mine.
Well, there's some really bad stuff
yeah,
in there,
yeah, but that's
too,
good.
So I just said, I'll never put that in a song.
I mean, you must have found some... Tell me you found really bad poetry.
Oh, yes. There's been lots of bad poetry.
Okay, I feel better. Feel much better. Brendan, you talked about... what inspired this record? Can you talk a little bit about what inspired the 10th anniversary and what Sub Pop's doing?
Yeah, I mean, it just came upon Benjamin and I earlier this year. We were asked to do a show in Portland and thought, well, we should do something special. And at that point, we realized, well, it's been 10 years since Keep Your Eyes Ahead came out. What if we just play it from beginning to end? And we did it, and it went over really well. And then we had some talks with our friends at Sub Pop and said, "Hey, would you be up for putting this out again?" And amazingly, they were like, "Yeah, let's do this." And here it is, the deluxe edition.
And talk what's in there. It's vinyl. It's outtakes.
Assuming. Yeah. We had a chance to like go through all of our archives, and we're always writing stuff that does not make records. And we had 29 songs that didn't make it to Keep Your Eyes Ahead from that era. And it was a long time between 2005 and 7 and 7-ish that we were writing. And we sent them to our friend Tony at Sub Pop, and we're kind of like, can you help us make sense of this? What do you think should go on the record? And it was really helpful. He helped us narrow it down to 11 songs. And we did some remixing and had a chance to revisit and remaster stuff and get it in shape to show the world some of the stuff.
Well, how are you doing? You're revisiting the story, mm-hmm. In your head and now publicly about your mother disappearing. You're going back to those times and hearing those outtakes. And are you connected to your mom currently? You said she lives close. How is she?
She's doing well. She's doing really well. And she just lives a few miles from where I live. And the amazing thing is that, to me, is that she's been able to reconnect with our family and see my daughters. My daughters are 7 and 10, which means a lot to me. They were my oldest one now was born in 2008, so right around the time that I made contact with my mother again.
And so they get to meet Grandma.
And it's an amazing thing.
Well, good for you for continuing that relationship and having her in your life. And you're doing you must be in a good place, at least, to be able to talk about it and to put this record out and revisit that, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, and it means a lot to me to come speak with you personally, because I've been thinking, you know, I really want to share this with people, because I feel like people have shared so much with me over the years, you know, on tour. I've heard the most intimate things and how the records helped them, and it means everything to me, because that's what music has helped me do. It's like I would not be alive if it weren't for music helping me through the difficult times. And it feels very nice to, you know, return that openness, and I feel comfortable being able to speak with you about it. You know, you've personally and KEXP have been such big supporters of Benjamin and I and our music over the years, and it's an honor.
Well, you know, the next song you're going to play, I told you this in an email, but my wife and I, we had gone through some pretty bad divorces. we had our starter marriages. They were great. And hers first. And when I was starting to go through mine, we were corresponding, we were friends. And she said, you know, what really helped me is the Helio Sequences record, Keep Your Eyes Ahead. It's really been something to help me through. And I know you know that record, but you should really listen to Hallelujah. That song saved me when I was feeling so low and so alone, and I immediately listened to it differently after that time. So to hear your story and what inspired this record, I just, you know, of course we're going to have you up to talk more about it. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate it.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's one of my all-time favorite songs. So here's Brandon from the, if you're ready.
I'm ready. Yeah, I just need to.
I want
to
get ahead of myself here.
Make sure I'm in tune again. It's all this, I had to retool these songs for acoustics. They're all in different keys. All right, this is Hallelujah. And
Though we did not believe in God, the gray skies fell, we felt the pressure drop, and we were feeling down. Some eyes were looking down at us, and those that made the call to judge. But when they spoke, said not at all. The words that came made not a sound. Our mouths said not a sound at all. But should instead we wrote a book and rearranged the signs and forms to look like something understood, like something we had seen before. And waiting pensive, sad, and look up to the stars and counting all the suns and all the moons. How sad it was that we could not believe. Everyone move with ease, everyone move with ease. And they said, we all said hallelujah, we all said hallelujah. Everyone move around with ease, everyone move with ease around. And then we all said hallelujah, we don't want answers anyway. We could not see the call, the midnight fell, we felt the measure fall, and we were feeling down. Some eyes were looking down at us and waiting pensive, sad, and looked up to the stars and counting all the suns and all the moons. How sad it was that we could not believe. Everyone move with ease, everyone move with ease. And they said, we all said hallelujah, we all said hallelujah. Everyone move around with ease, everyone fell right to their knees. And then we all said hallelujah, we don't want answers anyway. We don't want answers anyway. We don't want answers anyway.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. I'm so happy we're, Kevin, you're recording this, right? We're going to be able to play.
We have to do that one again.
We're definitely going to play these again, Brandon. These are just beautiful versions of those songs. When did you, have you played them? I'm assuming you played them acoustically before, but did you have to do something different?
Well, you know, we had, I've never really done acoustic show in the entire history of our band until, it was like 3 years ago or something.
Okay.
And we were doing a show at the old church in Portland, and they told us it would be far too loud to have the full Helio experience in there. So in 2 days, we got ready a bunch of acoustic versions. And it was interesting because some of the stuff I had written on acoustic guitar and it translated really well, and other things like Hallelujah, Benjamin wrote off of keyboard loops.
Oh.
So finding ways to translate that to acoustic was a really interesting and fun thing.
Well, thank you for coming up today. I really appreciate you sharing your story, and I know other people probably do as well. And you're going to tour too, I should mention that, right?
We are.
There's shows coming up.
Very soon.
It starts November 14th at the Chapel in San Francisco and ends where I was just having a drink 2 weekends ago at the Doug Fir on December 14th in Portland, Oregon, your hometown. And anything we should know about the tour or...
Yeah, we're actually really happy to end it in Portland. We very rarely are able to do that, so it'll be a nice homecoming.
Very nice. All right. Look for the new reissue of Keep Your Eyes Ahead. And thank you again, Brandon, for coming up.
Thank you for having me.
And we're going to play the title track as well. I know that one didn't... That one's a hard, that would be a hard one to do acoustically, right?
I'd be banging on guitar too much, I think. To
All right, we're going to leave.
Stomping my feet.
Exactly. Keep your eyes ahead. This is listener-powered KEXP in Seattle. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening and supporting KEXP.